In 2019, we began the book of Luke. And I preached through the Christmas story then. A lot has happened, but now in 2023, we are in chapter 24 and get to celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The ringing question given to the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is alive, but too often and in different ways, we look for life in the wrong places. Now, the beginning of this story, there is a futile mission to bring spices to Jesus' body. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were looking for a body that was not there anymore because Jesus had left the tomb under his own power. Looking for Jesus in the tomb on the third day is about as pointless as looking for a tropical flower in a Saskatchewan winter or looking for Easter candy in my desk after about two or three more days. But people look for life among the dead all the time. And you look around the world and you can find people grasping for life among death everywhere. Look at the alcoholic in the bar looking for satisfaction from their next drink to bring some release from the pains of this life. For the people looking for satisfaction in sex, and sex is perhaps the most foolish attempt at satisfaction ever, because it's never satisfying completely, because as much as people seek something transcendent, it always is there for just a moment and goes away. Many people chasing after fame or power to give them life, to feel like people respect you, or the people are following you, living for the likes on Facebook or whatever the thing they do on Instagram. Like, and you see the people who chase after fame or power as the thing that gets them life, after day by day, like those things start to hollow you out. You know, there's this Bible verse that says about people who make idols that those who make them become like them. And the thing that you chase after in life, the thing that you put above all else, you become a little bit like that thing. And if you want to put fame, like fame hollows you out in a certain way that you're chasing this thing that all of your values, you kind of become like a, you know, people who just chase fame become a little bit like a donut. Like they seem sweet on the outside, but there's just nothing in the middle. People look for money, for satisfaction, and it's like the, you know, people trying to find happiness and passing little bits of green paper around, which is strange, you know, because the little bits of green paper don't seem to be happy in themselves. Like the people aren't even smiling on the little bits. Why do you seek the living among the dead? So there's 3 points today. Did you get them? Keziah? Yes. Jesus is alive. Second, you need to seek life and how to seek the living. So first, Jesus is alive. So we see in twice, two groups of people go to the grave. First, the women, but they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter runs to the tomb. John gives the other story, but Luke only has this part. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping to look in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. There is one point about the resurrection that everyone agrees on, even the people who are opposed to Jesus, and that is the tomb was empty. It'd be pretty easy if you felt like, you know, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. You'd just be like, okay, here's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they wouldn't say Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the body of Jesus. He obviously didn't rise from the dead, but no body was ever produced. In fact, there was a story made up by some of the enemies of Jesus, and it is recorded in Matthew, when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel. They gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, this is an unlikely story because it's told that there was a guard for this. And the disciples, for all of their qualifications as fishermen, do not seem to be like Ethan Hawke, like Mission Impossible kind of thing. Like these are just fishermen. They're not like sneaking around stealing bodies. And I don't know if you've ever tried to move, like, probably not a lot. I've never moved a dead like human body. I've moved a lot of dead like cow bodies as a dairy farmer. Bodies are not easy to move. Like they just like, they're hard to move. But all right. Moving on. This isn't the myth. Some people say, you know, they wrote these things kind of as myth stories to make you think spiritual thoughts. But the Gospels do not record things that are myths. And the way that you see this is just like we know when someone's writing a myth. You know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You know, you're gonna like a myth. Doom. This isn't a myth. Because all along, Luke grounds his story with real kings and emperors. Pontius Pilate attested in history. And here, Luke gives us the names of the first people who went to the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some of the other women who told these things to the apostles. Also the fact that it's the women that go. And if you were just going to make up a story, you know, you would have witnesses there that everyone would believe. But instead, they have witnesses that people wouldn't be ready to believe. And we know this because the people were not ready to believe it. They're like, oh, you know, the women, they just, you know how women talk, you know how they are. This is the idle tales. It's actually like, literally, it's like, how someone talks when they're in like a fevered state. It's like, it was like they were talking like they were drunk or fevered or something. Why go through the trouble of making up a story that would be doubtful to the first audience? And the truth is Jesus chose these people who were overlooked by the world to be the first people to report that the tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. And finally, I find it really comforting. So I find it comforting the fact that the apostles, you know, the women came, they weren't like, oh yeah, like awesome, Jesus rose from the dead. No, they're like skeptical. Like these are practical fishermen from Nazareth. They are the people who are like, because there are certain people, I don't know if you know them, but there are certain people out there who are excited about everything. Like they watched a documentary on the History Channel about ancient aliens and now they're like, you gotta like see this, like ancient. Or they're always like, I got this new business opportunity, this guy from Nigeria, he's like a prince, he like contacted me. All I have to do is send like wire $5,000 and I'm gonna get like $50,000 back, it's a great deal. Like there are people who just kind of believe everything, but these are not that people. They're skeptical. Like they were not jumping at a chance to believe. They had to be convinced. And so when I see the testimony of these people who would go to their graves proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead, I see people who are trustworthy to listen to because they are not fools. They are fishermen from Galilee. They know what is not believable. And they know what is believable, that Jesus rose from the dead. So, Jesus is alive. You need to seek what is life. Seek life. So Christianity is a bloody religion. And there's many bloody religions in the world. We think of the Old Testament and how they had the temple and they brought like the goats and the sheep and they sacrificed them. They threw the blood against the altar. At the beginning, they threw the blood on the people. You can even think of someone like the ancient Aztecs who had their big temples and they brought people forth and they would sacrifice people on the temples to their dark demonic gods. And there's even a few modern religions where people have to beat their bodies into submission. They have to sweat and work to find themselves on the right side of God. Now, people did this because they felt, like I think all of us felt, that there is something wrong with the world, and even more, that's something wrong with us. Like we just don't live up to even our own standards. This is a great, like, question. Like, if you think that God's judgment isn't fair, like, imagine if someone followed you around your whole life with a, like, tape recorder for every time you issued a judgment about someone. Like, boy, they're not taking care of their kids very well, or they're... And then on judgment day, God played that back and then, like, showed you your own life. Would you live up to your own standards very well? We all feel like there's something wrong. And so, like, have you ever done this? Like you, like, messed up and you're just like, you want to, like, hit your own head? I remember doing this. Like, one time I made a mistake really bad. Like, I was supposed to pick up my wife from Awana and I forgot to pick her up. And so she was left waiting there with, like, no ride home. And then 3 weeks later, I did the same thing. And, like, at that point, I'm like, I want to, like, beat myself. But you know what? As much as you beat yourself, it doesn't get your wife picked up. It doesn't make things right. It's like self-atonement, making things right by beating yourself up just does not end up working. Have you ever been so upset because someone has hurt you? Someone has hurt someone you cared about? And maybe you called the police, maybe you try to work, but, like, no one was there to bring justice. You felt like there's no justice in the world. You know, the Bible even asks this question again. You know, there's so many times the Bible is, like, asking the questions that we ask. It's like, righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you, yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You ever wonder why the wicked prosper so much? Like, the Bible asks this question too. But the answer comes ringing back in 1,000 ways. That people may escape judgment for a while. You know, I preached the same sermon yesterday up at Muskaugin, kind of in the shadow of a residential school, speaking to people who'd gone to residential school who had experienced or known terrible stories, priests who had done terrible things, nothing was ever done, they got moved around, shuttled off, and they may escape judgment. People who have hurt you may escape judgment for 80 trips around the sun, but they will not escape judgment forever, because God will render to each one according to his works, those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. He will give eternal life, but to those who are self-seeking, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Now, this is, I think, sometimes like a comfort for me. I think about people who hurt others terribly, and I was like, yeah, there will be hell to pay. But it's also a big problem, because as much as I have been hurt by others, I've also hurt others. I've said cruel words. You know, it's funny, if you try to take back, like, can I take that back? Like, just try that with your spouse sometimes. Be like, I just like to take back that word. I like to amend the record of the world, like, that never happened. It doesn't work. It's just, you can't take things back. We've ignored the needs of others. And if you go down God's law, it gets even worse. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever desired something that isn't yours? Like, you go down the Ten Commandments, but like, man, I've broken a lot of these things, and if God's going to judge, like, this is not looking very good for me. And then you think, oh, well, man, maybe I'll just go to Jesus. You know, precious Jesus, tender and mild. Like, what about Jesus' law? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I read that, and I'm like, oh, no, this even gets worse. Because, man, I don't care about my neighbor a lot. Like really? Like, sometimes I even go, like, man, I kind of wish my neighbor would, like, poof away so I didn't have to deal with some of the stuff that they do. I love you, neighbors. Right now, I'm speaking of other neighbors. And then, boom, like, you just lied again, and now you're in trouble again. Like, this isn't good. Now, there is an answer to this question, an answer to the fact that all of us have come up to God's law and fallen woefully short. And it comes ringing back in the book of Romans. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's me. Yeah, all of us. Check mark, definitely fallen very short. And are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation. That's a big word. I'll explain it a little bit. Propitiation means to make something right by an atoning sacrifice, by blood. So, by blood, put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And this is the glorious truth. And I said at the beginning, the Christianity is a bloody religion. And here's the amazing truth. It is a bloody religion, but it's not your blood that has to be spilt. It's not some enemy's blood that has to be spilt. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, who stepped forward and says, I will offer myself in the place of my people. And it is to be received simply by faith. We're going to talk about that a little bit, how to be received by faith, because now we need to seek the living. Seek the living. Comes from the question, as the women were with the angels and they bowed their face to the ground, and the men said to them, the men who were angels, which we find out in a little bit, why do you seek the living among the dead? And too often when we think about our problem, how far away from God we are, we think, man, if I am this far from God, like, I need to get to work. I need to do stuff. I mean, like the women coming to the body, they're like, we have a job to do. We need to bring these spices. We need to take care of things. We think about religion as our duties. Go to church. Do your devotions, say your prayers, follow the commands, raise your kids right. But just as they were looking for Jesus in the wrong place, and this is the thing that I find interesting in this passage, is like, where should they be looking for Jesus? And as we go through the book of Luke, because like they're looking for Jesus, like he's a dead person that's in a spot. But that's not how you look for a living person. You don't look for a living person in a spot. Think about trying to find someone. Like, if you're trying to find me, like, where would you look for me? You probably look for my office during the week. Probably would be a good idea. But maybe I'm on vacation. Like, maybe I'm not there because I move around. Seeking a living person is different than seeking a dead person. And so many people look for God like they're digging up archaeological remains. And they think of it as like a formula. Like, and this happens. People go to a Billy Graham crusade, speak to somebody on the street, and they lead them through a thing. Okay, you want to know Jesus, you say this prayer, you go through this, And boom, you're a Christian. And then they go home, and they're like, man, I don't feel any change. And the reason why, you say, said this prayer, you go with it, is that they're seeking God like it's some sort of formula, like now I've done my religious duty of this prayer, and now it goes there. Instead of seeking him like a living person, that you don't just go to, but maybe they might come to you. I think of the most famous passage in the Bible. We dipped into it last week. We're going to think about it a little more today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Blessed truth, and it's totally true. And yet, we step back a little bit, and this is so key for so many of us who maybe have said a prayer at some time, and maybe have said, Joe, Jesus, come into my life, and we don't really feel like maybe he is. Because he said to Nicodemus, who said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is where we get the idea of a born-again Christian from. A born-again Christian is one who has been born again and explained by Jesus in the next couple verses. That which is born of flesh is flesh. So if you're born of a mom, you're born from flesh to flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of a spirit. And this is an interesting statement. The wind blows where it wishes. Nicodemus is like, how must I be born again? Like, what are the mechanisms of this? And Jesus immediately goes to, the Spirit blows where it wishes. And this gets us away from the fact that, like, coming to Jesus is like a mechanical task that I'm going to do. But the fact is that it is much more organic and much maybe difficult, but maybe easier, depending upon how you look at it, than you might imagine. The Spirit is not a formula. Coming to Jesus isn't a magic formula. You say the words, I repent of my sin, I believe in Jesus Christ. Abracadabra, you're a Christian. That's not what it's like to seek a living person, because we don't seek him like he's dead. We seek him like he's alive. If you're sitting here, and if you don't feel like Jesus is really alive, you don't feel the Spirit's power, maybe you haven't really been looking for the living God. Maybe you're looking for some thing to conquer, some monument, some ancient literature, but not the living God who moves and breathes and is surprising. So, how would you then come to Jesus? If I said, you know, I can't just tell you the words to say, how do you come to Jesus? And that is, seek the living God. Seek the living. And to seek the living, you have to have faith. Hebrews 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Forever who would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. And this is where some people get discouraged, because they went to a meeting sometime, they prayed a prayer, and then they went home and nothing felt like a change. And they were just like, well, this magic word thing didn't work. This Christianity didn't work, and they go on. But that is not how you come to Jesus. They went to the tomb. The women went to the tomb, and only one of the women found Jesus. Only Mary did. The rest of them went back with nothing. Peter went to the tomb. He didn't find Jesus there. Jesus eventually came and found him. But the fact is, if you seek the Lord, you might pray a prayer and nothing happened. You might go a week later, pray a prayer, and nothing happened. But if you seek the Lord day by day, week by week, if you seek him, he will reward you. He will meet you. One day, if you keep seeking him, your life is going to open up. The Spirit is going to come in. He's going to make you alive to see things like you have never seen him before. It's going to change everything if you keep seeking after him. And that's what faith is. believing he's there, and he will reward you when you keep seeking. And the warning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek a living person. You know, some people like are like, you know, I'm going to deal with all this religious stuff when I get older. Like, seek the Lord when he may be found. As he is a person, and people, and sometimes they're near, sometimes they're far away, sometimes they're easy to seek, and this is what happens in life. This happens in life. Things go quick. Your heart changes. Sometimes you get so caught up in the world, and you see people get so caught up in the world that they just like, they get to a place where they can't get back from. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't wait. Don't wait. We never know what this life will bring. We never know if we have tomorrow or even another breath. We don't know when Jesus' blessed return, the cloud breaking over the valley, will come, and it will be too late for those who did not seek the Lord while he's living, while he's near. Seek the Lord like Peter. Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping, looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Run after Jesus. And I can't guarantee you just be like, you're just like, okay, now I'm going to like pray right now. And this is really what you do. You pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive my sin. Fill my life. Change my heart. Give me the gift of your spirit. Oh, Lord, I need you. I have nothing else. Run to Jesus. And yet, just like Peter, run to Jesus. If you pray that prayer right now, and you just like, you feel like, man, I really don't feel like any fireworks. How? Like, keep looking, because Peter, amazingly, he runs to Jesus. He looks in the tomb. And you know what he finds? Linen clothes. Doesn't find anything. He's not going to be until he goes back. He goes back to the room, and then Jesus shows up and comes to him. And this is what happens sometimes. People like they pray a prayer, and they go through life, and they start coming to church, and then one day, like boom, Jesus meets them. Because if we seek the Lord, he is faithful. And so for you today, if you are, maybe you've been in church a long time. Been in church a long time, you've been coming, and you just like have never really felt that. Or maybe, you know, you said a prayer and you're just like, well, this is all there is. I'm just sort of like, just working now, just doing the best I can. No, keep seeking the Lord, not just to be here, but to be born again by the Spirit, to be changed. Maybe you don't know Jesus very much. If you don't know Jesus, like, seek him, seek him. You know, pick up a Bible, pick up the Gospel of John, start reading it, seek him in every way that he may be found as the living Lord. And I promise that if you seek him, he will make himself known to you, and you will be born again. Don't seek for life among the dead. Stop looking at the dead things of this world, whether it be academic progress in your job, life, drugs, sex, money, all the stupid things. Don't look for life among the dead. Seek the living Lord. Seek him daily, and one day he will meet you. He will meet you and change everything. Change everything. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I pray on this Easter day that we would seek you as diligently as the women, but not looking for a corpse, but looking for the living Lord. I pray that we would seek you in his word. I pray that we would seek you in our prayers. I pray that we would seek you by joining together with your people. And I pray, Lord God, now for anyone who is seeking you today, that your spirit would come upon them, that they would be born again to your real life. They would see and know you in their heart. And they would follow you with their whole lives. We thank you that you are faithful to everyone who believes in you and diligently seeks after you. May we run like Peter, and may we find you like Mary, and profess, my Lord and my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.